This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, the first one I've talked about a bunch today. The Bills are the Super Bowl favorite. I didn't know that this would be backed by major sports books today, but they agree, so maybe it's not an overreaction. But the Bills, who beat both Detroit in Detroit and Kansas City, are the Super Bowl favorites.
Well, I think it's not an overreaction. They are, and they should be. I mean, they've done the work. And here's the thing. Going into an opponent's stadium, and you were there yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know what it was like. You know what it sounded like. Now, I know you were in somewhat of a more sterile environment because you were in the press box, but you got a chance to feel everything that goes on at Ford Field, and that was as impressive a performance going into enemy territory as you're going to find.
Yeah, the crowd was loud even down two scores. I mean, when Josh Allen had the ball, the crowd was doing everything they could in that game.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes somebody's just on their A game. When you have a franchise quarterback, an elite, second best or best quarterback in the league, MVP, top odds, play like that, you're screwed, man.
Yeah.
You are.
You agree they're the best right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they're going to be at the end.
Important distinction,
this
yes.
league, you know, we got humbled. Guess who's going to get humbled again? The Bills. When does it happen? Well, they get...
When they play at Arrowhead?
When they get New England twice and the Jets once over the next 3 weeks. Is that going to get them ready for the Super Bowl?
Some days.
They're just going to take over the world.
Yeah.
No, they didn't lose 35-10 at Baltimore. So, yeah, they're the best right now. Right now doesn't mean anything. Right now, last year, the Detroit Lions are sitting in a similar spot. Everybody was doubting them. Denver came in here, remember? And they went to the NFC Championship game. So...
sometimes it just ain't your day.
You can stop playing the season. The MVP race is over. It's Josh Allen.
I don't think that's an overreaction.
Nothing that happens the final 3 weeks can take it away from him.
What we've seen from him over the last, I don't know what, 4 weeks, and it goes well past that, but what he's been able to do, especially when he's lost his number one receiver from a year ago, he's had to create new relationships, new chemistry. And, I mean, he's doing it with rookies as well. Yesterday, that was the first time where I looked and I'm like, that's a no-doubter. That is an MVP.
Yeah, it's over after the last 2 weeks. And Saquon, I really think, deserves consideration. It's a two-horse race, and it's Allen and Barkley. Sorry, Jared Goff fans, but that's just the fact. It just is. And, you know, the QB bias here, it's that seals the deal for him. I mean, he's... Well, he's been unbelievable the last 2 weeks.
He's clearly the best player on the field.
The best thing that ever happened to him was that he lost his number one receiver.
Probably.
Tua is not a franchise quarterback, and the Dolphins made a franchise-altering mistake by paying him. 4 turnovers against Houston. That was not in the cold. Take the cold out of it. He never plays well in a big game.
I'm not going to go as far as to say he's not a franchise quarterback or that they made a mistake. What were they going to do after last season?
Tag him.
Okay, still, you're going to be playing.
But they made
him
a multi-year commitment. My point would be if they reach the same conclusion today on a franchise tag, they are not obligated to have that hang over their salary cap for years to come.
Right, but I go back to it's a lot easier to get worse at that position than it is better. They're 6-8. They're not going to be picking in the top 10. And how are they going to go get their starting quarterback? Are they going to go? I mean, what, Carson Wentz? He's a backup. Could they? Is he better than Tua? That's where you're looking at. Or you're going to have to trade the next 3 years worth of draft to go up. And who is that guy in this draft that you think is a franchise quarterback? They were forced to make that decision.
Is Baker Mayfield a franchise quarterback?
He's better than Tua. We'll get to
right
him later.
Now,
we'll get
what
to
did
him
you think
later.
About him 2 or 3 weeks ago? Yeah. Or 2 or 3 years ago?
Sure.
Justin Herbert, is he a franchise quarterback? How many playoff wins does he have?
Are you defending Tua?
Was Jared Goff a franchise quarterback 3 years ago when he was a throw-in in the Lions trade?
So you then blame Miami?
No,
is that
you're
your takeaway?
No, you're writing him off too soon. Is the fact is, I think Tua fits the category. Is I'd rather have him than what might be on the other end of the rainbow. I'm not writing him off yet. And I also think Texans coming off a bye yesterday and D'Amico Ryan's getting that defense right. Let's just see. The thing with Tua is still the health long term. Those other guys.
Brian Thomas Jr. is the next elite wide receiver. 7 receivers taken in the first round last year, and he leads all of them in receiving. He's 6'4". He runs a 4.3 40-yard dash. 2 touchdowns yesterday, most of the damage after the catch, and he got himself open. They define that as 3 yards of separation. On 9 of his 10 receptions, he is going to be an elite receiver in this league.
I don't think it's an overreaction. I mean, he's having a hell of a rookie season. Now, what does he do when he starts to get double-teamed? That's going to be the big question. Can he create separation? Can he get open when the defense are going to adjust to focus on him? Because they eventually will.
Like, keep in mind, there's no Evan Engram yesterday, no Christian Kirk, no other receivers to take.
Right.
And it's Mac Brown Mac Jones throwing him the football.
No, it's Mac Brown. That'd be real.
Even more impressive.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think he's going to be an elite receiver. I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
Not an overreaction. I don't know if he's going to be better than Harrison Jr. still, because I think he's such a supreme talent. But I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to end up having a better career than Odunze and Neighbors.
The Buccaneers are Super Bowl contenders. Baker's cooking. They have playoff experience from a year ago. They beat the Lions this season. They beat the Eagles this season. They just put up 40. They are not just a frisky team that could pull off an upset. They could win the whole thing.
No, that's an overreaction. I think they could pull off an upset. I don't think they make a run in the playoffs. I don't think they have, on both sides of the ball, enough to win 4 playoff games and to have to win some of those on the road.
I'm going to make you answer this. If they played at Ford Field yesterday, who wins?
The Lions.
Then they can't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Chargers are frauds with a capital F. 0-5 against teams above 500. They're frauds.
I wouldn't call them frauds. I would just call it early. I didn't expect them. They weren't frauds by my expectations. Now, if you thought that they were a dark horse to win the Super Bowl, a dark horse to win their division, then sure, you could label them as frauds, but I never thought them that, so I'm not going to label them as frauds.
Yeah, I don't know if they're frauds either, because this is exactly what I expected. I thought they'd be a 7th seed in the playoffs, and that's kind of looks like where they're going, right? I still think that they could potentially pull off a first-round upset in the playoffs simply because coach is a great one-week game planner who can find weaknesses and exploit them. But I thought maybe they could be a sneaky team to make a run. No way.
Not quite frauds, but the Steelers are pretenders. That was a big spot. And maybe it's because I've been waiting for a performance like that to say this about them. But, John, they were not ready for the moment. 3 and outs on 4 of their first 5 drives. They finished with 163 yards of total offense. Pretenders.
Again, I think it goes to what your expectations were. Did I think that they were going to beat Philly? No. I was hoping, but I didn't think they were actually going to beat Philly. Do you think that they're going to be Super Bowl contenders? And that's where you start to say, okay, are they pretenders? If you believe that they were a dark horse to win the Super Bowl, and that's what we're talking about at this time of year, who is actually good enough to make a run at the Super Bowl? You asked about Tampa. So you ask about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think so.
Let me put it this way. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. The streak will continue.
Yeah.
They won't win even the first playoff game. They'll be one and done, bounced. Because there's a difference in they're not a Super Bowl team to they won't even win a playoff game.
Yeah, but it has to get back to what are you calling a contender or a pretender? I'm not going to call them a pretender because I didn't think they were a contender.
I'm not willing to write them off yet because I think they played the most complete team in football yesterday in their house. So I still think they're sneaky. They've got a lot of experience with winning in terms of their coach, their quarterback. I guess to answer this, I don't have an answer on T.J. Watt yet. I know he got banged up yesterday.
It's a huge deal. Yeah.
If he's going to miss time, then maybe they lose the division, and then winning multiple games on the road, no way. But if they can win the division, get a home game, hey, I wouldn't write them off yet.
With 3 weeks left in the NFL season, everyone currently in the playoffs will make it. Everybody out will stay out. The field is set. No drama down the stretch, John. I mean, for seeding, sure, but the field is set.
I'm not ready to go there yet.
Who's out that would get in?
Possibly Seattle. Now, yesterday, that took a big hit, but they're only one game back of Washington.
How hurt is Geno?
Well, again, these are our questions, but I'm not willing to sit here and say that, you know, okay, they're toast.
But think about it. The Colts lost a pivotal game. The Dolphins lost a pivotal game. A lot of these teams that could have maybe made a run, I think the door got slammed shut.
It may actually be set other than seeding in the AFC. I think the NFC still has some room.
Not an overreaction, barring significant injury, okay, which is a team that's contending like Stafford. Okay, then the West opens back up right now, but that's what I think about this year. This is one of the little downsides and why the Lions is still not really much is because there's so many horrific teams in this league. What a bad season. It's like there's the haves and the have-nots. And I would say, you know, look at the Rams and Buccaneers, for example. When they went through humongous injury woes, they struggled. The Rams were 1-4 at one time. But when they're healthy, they're really good. When the Buccaneers went through losing both Godwin and Evans at the same time, plus other injuries, they lost. But they're clearly superior to teams like the Falcons who just fold. And they're weak.
And those are your weekend overreact gems. Lot of Lions talk. The day the disco died. Were they exposed? Your thoughts on the onside kick? So much more to talk about from that Lions loss. This is new. We haven't experienced it in 3 months. We'll keep taking your phone calls on it, 299-9797. Moran Chevrolet is closing out 2024 with awesome pricing all month long. So if you're looking for a new vehicle, this is the place to be. The Red Tag Sales Event. Get off the sideline and get into the game with Moran Chevrolet. GM employees and immediate family members can lease a 2024 all-wheel drive Blazer EV for $199 a month. It's 24 months, $999 down. Get your car payment for under $200 a month at Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Score your best deal at MoranExpress.com or on Gratiot. They're north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Before we get back to the phone calls, John, your thoughts on the onside kick?
Not one. I'm not going to beat him up for it. I somewhat anticipated that he was going to do it at that time. I thought it was a little bit early. I think the problem is just the inconsistency. You do it then, but then you don't do it after you score your next touchdown with 8 minutes left. That's where, I mean, if you feel like you got to steal a possession, which they did, which is why I don't really have a problem with it. I wouldn't have done it at that time, but I'm not going to crucify him for going, you know, for onside kick with 12 minutes left.
There's a lot of chatter in the press box around that time. But
I'm sure.
What do you think? Here's where I'm at on it. They were down 17 points to start the fourth quarter. They needed to steal one, probably two possessions with the way their defense was going. An onside kick was justified. What I didn't like about it is that he was wishy-washy. He went for an onside kick down 10 with 12 to go, but not down 10 with 8 to go. And I don't know if he, in real time, goes, oh, I screwed up, and then tried to course correct, or if he didn't want to be killed for being the guy going multiple onside kicks in the fourth quarter? I don't think so, but I wonder why he flip-flopped on it. Why it was the right decision with 12, but not the right decision with 8 minutes to go.
Fortunately, you'll be able to ask him that question tomorrow.
Okay. And I don't want to fight with him, but I'll say it. But we'll get an answer.
It's a legit question. Yeah, why do you do it at 12 minutes and not at 8 minutes?
Because I can defend going for it. I really can, but where the game was going. I know some people are bothered by the decision to go with the onside kick.
This is why I hate the onside kick rule and this new kickoff rule. You've got to declare it, and you can only do it in the fourth quarter. And it part of the onside kick is the deception of when you're going to go for it. And when you have to declare in the fourth quarter, hey, Bills, we're going to go for an onside kick. Like that,
brace yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you have to declare it because of the
Right, that's what I mean. That's why I don't like the new kickoff rule, and I don't like the fact that you have to declare it. You've got to, I mean, it's just, it's a mess.
Let's get back to the phones. Bob in St. Clair Shores. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I've got a sort of an observation talking about next Sunday's game with the Bears. You know, I think I remember, if I'm correct, that they came into our house, and they could have beat us, and it was close.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to go to their house next Sunday and play them, and I have a concern.
I think it's a valid concern. It's outside. Who knows what the weather's going to be? I probably don't have as same level of concern as you do. I think the Bears are in disarray.
I would feel really bad if I was the Bears right now. Detroit's going to lose back-to-back games in over two seasons, and this team's going to rip their head off.
It's a short week for the Bears as well.
Yeah, fair enough. But
now, to your point, Bob, if it doesn't look good, we are going to be more in that sky is falling kind of radio. I mean, if they lose back-to-back games and the defense is beat up and they can't move it outdoors, and then you're really staring at a possibility of having to play outdoor playoff games.
I like the Lions' ability to respond and the fact that they haven't lost back-to-back games in over 2 years.
Let's get to Matt on the east side. Matt, you're on 97.1.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good morning.
I just want to say, you know, in the morning, I thought this, that we needed that loss. We needed to lose. I didn't feel confident that we would win the Super Bowl, losing only our first game and winning every single game after that, first of all. Second of all, we didn't stick to our script as in, like, running the ball. I think Montgomery had 4 rush yards the whole game. Gibbs had a real low. And Josh Allen had one of the best games of his career, you know. So, like you guys said, it wasn't a blowout. So, I'm not worried. I'm more confident than I was before yesterday. So,
really?
And as far as the onside kick goes, you know, a prime example, you know, when somebody, like, steals a base in baseball, if they get the base, he's a man. If he doesn't get it, he's an idiot. So, that's the same thing. If we would have got that onside kick, he'd be justified for it. If he didn't, you know, he'd be crucified. So
yeah, but I'll use the baseball analogy. We have A.J. Hinch on. He's always like, hey, you know, you got to judge the decision, not the result. And I think Campbell's the same way with his fourth downs. He knows they're not going to get all of them.
Yeah.
It's whether the decision was justified or not. If you were justified doing it the first time, it was justified to do it with 8 minutes to go.
And I will never, ever subscribe to the theory that they needed to lose.
Never.
And if now, what do they do with this loss? What, how does it motivate them? What did it teach them? How do they learn? How do they adjust? Now, you can look back and said they made the most of that loss, and it set them on a trajectory so that when they played the Bills or the Chiefs or the Ravens in the Super Bowl, they made some adjustments.
Absolutely.
And it proved to be a winning adjustment. Now you can look back and say, okay, they learned a lot. But to say that they needed to lose, to me, I can never get behind that concept.
I also don't agree with this characterization. I know the scoreboard says they weren't blown out. They were down 14-0 immediately. They were down 17 points in the fourth quarter. It's not a blowout on the score sheet, but the Lions were never in that football game. They were constantly playing from behind. They never had the ball with a chance to take the lead.
Yeah, but I kind of never felt like they were completely out of it.
Well, because this offense can go off, but some of that is Buffalo's just on their heels going, hey, go ahead. 17 points.
Sure. There's a lot of context involved.
Yeah.
I get that. But I never really felt like that they weren't going to be able to respond. Now, maybe they weren't going to ultimately win it, but I never felt like they were just blown out.
He said he feels better after losing, which is where I just...
No, I'm not going to get behind that.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Dearborn has a really interesting way to keep their rat situation at bay.
I saw this, yeah.
Yeah, they're using feral cats.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Which is quite interesting. So Dearborn's mayor says that the city is working with the Friends of Animals in Metro Detroit and using multifaceted approaches to reduce the rat and the feral cat population. So they're tackling two things at once, right? So this is what they're doing. The city is using a TNR program, which is a trap, neuter, return program, to reduce the number of feral cats in the city and also tackle their rat situation. Mm-hmm. So basically, if they see a feral cat, right, they'll trap the cat, have it spayed or neutered, and then return the cat to where it was. The cat will then get the rats,
yeah,
right?
Return to his hunting grounds.
Yes, exactly. And then also won't be able to, you know, reproduce and create more feral cats. So the Humane Society is saying, hey, this is the most humane and effective method for reducing the number of feral cats. And hey, if it works for the rats, it works for the rats. So it's a win-win situation all around.
Yeah, didn't they say like the rat complaints are down 15% or 20% over the last year? So seems to be working.
I think that's a great idea. Michigan running back Donovan Edwards has opted out of the ReliaQuest Bowl against Alabama, which then marks the end of his Wolverines career. He did talk to WXYZ on Saturday. He said that he hadn't really had the opportunity to look back and reflect, but for the most part, he says he's been very grateful for the support that Michigan fans have given him. He's now going to focus on his pro career. Mm-hmm. So.
Day a lot three, on his mind.
Day three pick, you think?
Yeah, a lot on his mind.
At best.
Yeah.
Yes. This is cool. It's always nice when you see big stars giving back. Taylor Swift surprised a bunch of patients and families at a Kansas City Children's Hospital last week, obviously bringing joy and lots of excitement to those there. It was also the day before her birthday, which I'm going to get to next. But this was also right after she finished up her big Eras tour. She spent time laughing, exchanging gifts, chatting with the children and their parents. And this was a surprise. The parents had no idea. The children had no idea that she was coming. There's one kid at the hospital who makes 3D printed earrings that features the Kansas City Chiefs players' names. And this child gifted Taylor Swift some earrings with obviously Travis Kelce's name, and also some with Patrick Mahomes' name as well. Hospital staff said that they were just really, really thankful for her visit. Obviously had a huge impact on the children's morale. So it's really cool to see somebody of that stature doing something that seems so simple, but often doesn't ever happen. So pretty cool. And then the next day after that hospital visit was her birthday, and she just turned 35 years old. And it's like, what do you get somebody who has everything, right? Has all the money in the world to buy anything she wants. Well, this is what her boyfriend bought her. Here's what Travis Kelce reportedly bought her. Spent over $175,000 on her birthday. Yep. Unfortunately, you know, I'm not a huge flower fan, so this seems obnoxious to me, but spent over $19,000 for 35 luxury flower arrangements. To me, it's just
those gotta
money
be
down the drain.
Unbelievably luxurious arrangements.
Yes, they're never die.
I was going to ask, how do you keep that many flowers alive?
Yeah. My goodness. 60,000 plus on a Rolex watch, $22,000 for a Tiffany's bracelet, and then more than $72,000 on even more jewelry, bracelets and earrings and things like that. A source says that he just wanted to make things really special for her special occasion. So,
boy, he set that bar high. What's he going to do next year?
I mean, I guess you just got to keep continuing on. I don't know.
A wedding ring?
Yes, an engagement. Never. You never do that on a special occasion, though, Jim. Like, he can't do that for her birthday.
No, you're right.
He can do that whenever, but not for her birthday. So the holidays are obviously a really special occasion. I know I'm going to go over real quick, but parents are spending a ton of money on their children, right? Like, sparing no expense, and different states spend more money for their kids than others. So parents in New Jersey are actually going to spend the most per child, about $712. And then also Texas, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and California are going to spend a lot on their kid too. South Dakota going to spend the least, about $247.
Where are we
per
at?
Kid. I don't. We're not on there, so
we're not
we
in
must
the top
just be
or the bottom.
Like,
we're just in the middle.
Yeah, we're like right in the middle.
Okay, reasonable people.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's easy to do, especially if you start buying early and you don't like have a budget. Not like you're not paying attention to things.
Yep,
like you start buying in July, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Holy cow, got a lot of gifts."
It's Heather with the news. It's 97.1. Look, disco died for a reason.
Yeah, it's time came and gone. And ours started on Friday, ended about, maybe 4:50 yesterday.
Yeah, down 14-0. They were not going to win that game by double digits. Lions didn't win the game at all. Just their second loss of the season, so forgive us. We've forgotten how to do these shows. John, I forgot what losing was like. I don't like it. And I don't think anybody should like it. And I understand anybody who's upset today, but we've been trying to put it in its proper context. The Lions are not the Super Bowl favorites.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. The Bills are. And the Bills earned it. They came into Detroit and they led that game from start to finish. They were up 3 scores in the fourth quarter. Did Detroit do their damnedest to try to get back into it? Yes. Do some of you have issues with the onside kick? Yep. You want to talk about it? 248-539-9797. To me, the biggest issue is the defense. Not rocket science. They gave up 550 yards, 8 yards a pop. They forced a single punt on the day. And before you come in with the excuses of they were injured the last couple weeks and we didn't make excuses. And they came into the game with a healthy secondary, with a healthy D-line relatively, right? McNeil's back in there, Pascal, Onzerike, Reeder, and the Bills marched up and down the field like a hot knife through butter. So there's no excuse. The defense was exposed against the only elite quarterback they played. That's an issue. Now you can say, I know you're... Sky's not falling.
No, it's not.
Pump the brakes. But for a team whose only successful outcome is a Super Bowl, that was a sobering reality check.
It was. And that's exactly what it is. It's a reality check. And when you look at what the Lions did, defensively, yeah, concerns. No question. But you're playing against the best player in the NFL this year. That's Josh Allen. He's going to make you look silly at times. I think the bigger issue that I had was, because we kind of knew the defense at times would struggle against Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So has a lot of other defenses. A lot of other really good defenses that struggled with Josh Allen. The problem I had was, Jared Goff, great game. That was it on offense. There was no rushing attack. And even the protection. They had 10 QB hits. They had 3 sacks. There were times where Jared Goff, and God bless him, he is as unathletic as you can imagine. But there were some that he escaped from where I don't know how he got out of them because he is not a guy that's going to break a lot of tackles.
The 3rd and 10 before the skipper touchdown.
I mean, it was like he was a magician. All of a sudden, he pops out the other side. I'm like, where'd that rabbit come from?
I thought he was dead to rights.
Yeah, and so he saved him from a couple more sacks. That's where I have my biggest issue is I thought the offensive line got outplayed. Now, was it every single guy up front? At times, you might be able to say, yeah, but it was really the interior three that I thought just got manhandled, and it was in both the run and the pass.
I agree with you that this team is led by their offense, and when they stalled out the first couple drives and Goff's taking sacks early, you are digging yourself a hole that's going to be tough to dig out of. But the reason they couldn't dig out of it is because they couldn't get any stops. Like, any. Like, give me 1 second half stop, right? I mean, that would have gone a long way for this football team. They couldn't get enough stops on defense. And then the other thing, the headline is the defense. The offense also, we got to point to St. Brown. He had a critical drop before the half that at least gets him something, right? Makes it a makeable field goal for Bates or even a touchdown. And they had a fumble. You can't lose possessions like that. I know his stats are going to look good. And a lot of that was empty calories at the end of the game. He needed to be better in those 2 critical drives that cost them possessions.
Yeah. I mean, to whom much is given, much is expected. And we've heaped a lot of praise on Amon-Ra St. Brown, rightfully so. But when you've got the best players make the biggest plays in the biggest moments.
I was watching a game with some friends yesterday, and I actually said, you know what? In hindsight, I'm glad it happened there, that play. You know what? He's not perfect, okay? And he's going to fumble the football at some point in his life.
Yeah.
I'm glad it happened that game yesterday. You know what? I'm also glad that Jake Bates had his worst kick ever as a professional kicker. That thing was like as big as the goalpost wide left. We need to address, guys, why we failed on the disco.
Yes. What did we miss?
Now, I'm going to say, this is where I feel is. I refuse to put a ceiling on this team. And I thought they were ready to go to maximum ceiling in the NFL. Well, they're just one of a few Super Bowl contenders. So that's where I was wrong. I thought Decker, Onwuzurike, and Pascal returning would make a big difference on the defense I saw against Green Bay.
Same.
They had no impact. And I have a takeaway that Onwuzurike and Pascal are playing for their futures the next the rest of the season.
I'd agree
with
that.
This team.
Sure.
It's time to step up. Okay, you were drafted for a reason for depth. But the biggest thing I overlooked was the linebacker depth. And I know we've got some texts in terms of Brad Holmes should have been drafted in depth instead of projects. This team lost four or five linebackers. I don't know any team in the NFL that goes six deep at linebacker.
No, most don't. I'm not going to criticize Brad Holmes today. I mean, the depth of the depth has been tested. I don't think it's for a lack of preparation from Brad Holmes at the roster before the season. I don't blame Brad Holmes for what happened yesterday.
No. I mean, you can't predict injuries. You can prepare for them. And
I thought
honestly,
they did.
He has prepared for them. And he's addressed them. I mean, David Long Jr., the guys that they brought in, the guys that we have been praising against Green Bay, against every other team, other than when you're playing against a Super Bowl contender, have done exactly what you needed them to do.
What I want to say about it is, since they lost Rodrigo, the defense has given up 99 points in the last 10 quarters. I think he was in on one of those touchdowns against the Bears before he got hurt.
Okay.
And you just get to a point where the dam breaks. And, you know, I thought the intermediate yardage that the Bills got yesterday started with the linebacker. It was all chasing. I saw the back of David Long, Quan Alexander,
yep, right away,
and Jamal Adams. I saw their nameplates way too much yesterday. Now, maybe they don't know where to be in this scheme, but I don't know if it would have mattered. There's a reason they were available. This team desperately needs to get Anzalone back.
And the expectation is they will have him back for the playoffs. I guess how you judge this game is ultimately how much concern you have with the future of this football team. And I understand they're going to get Alex Anzalone back. We do not know that they're getting Aleem McNeil back. We don't know that they're getting Carlton Davis back. Campbell saying yesterday after the game that they may be done for the season. So anybody going, it'll be fine, they're going to get healthy. They are, in fact, not getting healthier. They're getting more injured.
So one other reason why I look in hindsight and the disco prediction was wrong. There's only one other person at this radio station that I think was initially all in bullish on this team, but they didn't join the disco. And it was Doug Karsh.
Mm.
And it did raise a little eyebrow to me when I asked him that off the air last week. I was kind of like,
Doug's very cautious. Yeah.
Doug been pretty chesty on the Super Bowl this year.
But I mean, we could talk about the defense all you want, but we all know that this team is led by offense, and they scored 42. I get that. But when you start slow in both halves, it's you get the ball to start the game, it's three plays, and it's 0 yards and a punt. You get the ball back after Buffalo goes down easily and scores a touchdown, you run five plays, and you pick up a grand total of 3 yards. That's unacceptable. And then you come out of halftime. Buffalo, again, without impugn, goes down and scores a touchdown. Four plays, 70 yards. Your response is three plays minus five. Then the defense forces a punt, and you go four plays, and that's the Monroe fumble.
I feel like you'll never win a football game as the Detroit Lions if David Montgomery gets five carries.
It's probably safe to say. It just goes against everything that they're built on. All right, we're going to get phone calls in coming up next. Just taking a quick peruse here. Onside kick was a bad decision. Another one says stands by the onside kick. Overreaction to say they aren't winning the Super Bowl. Another one says the Lions will not make the Super Bowl. Dissatisfied with the... So everybody's all over the board. We'll hear from you guys next, 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. And it's all-day IPA. Here is what you get. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. Speaking of great times, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days, whether it's at home, at the tailgate, or in the stadium. You can visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, It's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
John, you said it, poor tackling.
Yeah, that's part of the equation. I mean, there's a lot of things you can look to as to why the Lions lost this game. Poor tackling was one of them.
And that's a backbreaker right out of the half. Well, going into the half, they squandered a chance, right? They had the St. Brown drop the alligator arms. They miss a 50-yard field goal. Then they give up a score right out of half. It's why, while the Lions are never out of it with this offense, they're also never really in it either. Down 14-0 right away, down 17 in the fourth quarter. Like, I can't fault Campbell for trying to steal a possession with an onside kick. I just kind of wish if he felt that way with 12 minutes, he would have kept trying to do it. I know he would have been looked at as a lunatic, but I understood the thought process. We got to steal a possession or two. We're not getting any stops.
Well, what's the one common thing between the two losses that the Lions have suffered this year? And take away the opponent, right? Because Baker Mayfield and the Bucs are not the same as Josh Allen and the Bills. But the two losses, the one common factor is the game offensive game plan got away from them. In the loss to the Bucs, Jared Goff threw the ball 55 times. And afterwards, when we talked to Dan Campbell, he said, yeah, that's not a recipe for winning. Yesterday, Jared Goff threw the ball 59 times.
Oof.
Again, for this offense, it's not a recipe for winning. And I know you were at the game, so maybe you weren't listening to the broadcast, but Romo was praising both offensive coordinators for their schemes and all this stuff. And yeah, there were some moments where you could look at some of the routes and some of what they were doing in the passing game as, okay, this is great. Except for the Lions to win, especially in a game like this, you're going to have to possess the ball. They lost time of possession.
Yeah.
You're going to have to run the ball. 48 yards on the ground on 15 attempts is not going to get it done.
Well, we had talked about, again,
and two of those were with Jared Goff. That's a scramble. So you got 13 attempts by two running backs.
You're talking traditional runs, the bread and butter of this offense. No, I mean, part of our disco party, it was them running the football, keeping Josh Allen on the sideline, forcing him to press because they'd be trailing and go, I got to do it all myself. And then he'd turn the ball over. Instead, shoe was on the other foot. Lions are trailing. Lions are pressing. To Goff's credit, he didn't turn the ball over. But the problem is he had to be perfect. And when they didn't score the first couple possessions and they didn't score before the half, and it just wasn't going to happen. They didn't get enough stops.
So the thing to trust on this team more than anything, I think, was the Lions' run defense. They gave up a 100-yard rusher yesterday to James Cook. Did you see that coming?
No.
Did you see that on 14 carries?
I think the biggest thing to trust that was a little bit broken yesterday was the performance of the offensive line. Second would be the run defense, to me.
Yeah, but none of us thought James Cook was going to go for 100 yards.
TJ Lang.
And then the Lions win by double digits.
TJ Lang on game day, quote, I'm not afraid of James Cook. Maybe this will come back to haunt me. Yeah. We'll talk to TJ at 9:02. That, among other things,
there's
came
a lot
back
of things
to haunt
that are coming back to haunt us from Friday that were said on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And so, yes, this is a haunting Monday.
Well, for the people who thought they'd be 10-7 or 11-6, though, to start the year, you're haunted too.
Right. But, and again, I go back to this is a 12-2 team. You could point to reasons why they lost that Tampa game. You could point to reasons why they lost this game. And I think they're all fixable. I think that's maybe my takeaway is there's nothing in both of these losses where I think the Detroit Lions are broken and can't win at all. Now, are they battered? Absolutely. Are they going to get Aleem McNeil back? Doesn't sound like it. Are they going to get Carlton Davis back? Surely doesn't sound like it. Are they going to get Aiden Hutchinson back? I still find it a very long shot. Derek Barnes. Okay, so you go through all of the list of people that players that just won't be a factor for the rest of the season.
Then why aren't you more concerned?
Because I trust that this offense, those are on defense. And yes, there are going to be some moments of struggle and some times where you just simply can't stop another team. But I do have the confidence that what we saw yesterday from this offense, from that rushing game, that's a one-off. Yeah. I don't believe that's who this offensive line is. Do you still think they're the best offensive line in the NFL.
I do, and I think they're the best offense in football. But to say they have to score 50 points to win the Super Bowl, you're just really, like, that changes everything. John, previously we thought they can win a bunch of different ways. And right. Now it's, you are going to struggle mightily to win a Super Bowl facing Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, guys with this defense.
But you can't have empty possessions. You can't start
well,
a game
will.
Off.
Well, they're not going to play a game with zero empty possessions.
Right, but an empty possession, I'm not talking about just in terms of no points. Yeah, that by definition, that's an empty possession, but you can't start off with three plays, 0 yards. That is the definition of an empty possession. There's no first downs. There's no flipping the field, no forcing Josh Allen to go the length of the field, and then you follow it up after a touchdown with 5 plays, 3 yards. That's another empty possession. Now you're down 14-0. It's the same thing to start the second half.
Texter says, you are what your record is. They're 12-2. Their two losses are by 10 total points. Another one says, panic at the disco, ?
Nope.
Relax.
Not here.
He says, we all remember the Ravens game last year, Paul in Newport. Hey, Paul, follow-up question. Did they win the Super Bowl last year? That is the only satisfying conclusion to this season. So there should be mild panic at the disco.
I think that it all depends on how they use this loss. I'm never going to sit there and say it's a good loss. But what do they learn from it? How do they adjust? And then the next time, which would be in the Super Bowl if they face the Buffalo Bills, how does it look different? That's the only way to turn this into a positive, because right now there's nothing positive about losing this game.
Ryan in Livonia, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, boys.
What's good up? Morning.
I think we're getting way too many injuries at this point. What are you guys feeling on the injuries and how they just keep stacking up every game?
Too many.
Well, it's unfortunate, yeah.
And how do you feel it's going to go all the way to the Super Bowl and if we're still going to have more injuries?
Well, I mean, the injuries could continue to mount. I who knows what happens? I can't predict that. But I know that offensively, they haven't been as injured as they have been defensively. And my biggest disappointment yesterday was the lack of production in the rushing attack.
I agree.
But Ryan, to your point, this isn't the number two defense in football. I know that's what the numbers said coming in. This is not the number two defense in football. And they're getting further from being the number two defense in football if Aleem McNeil's done for the season. I thought he was so important to stabilizing that D-line when Hutch got hurt. And, John, I suppose your answer is someone else will have to be the most important piece in that defensive line. But you start missing guys like Carlton Davis, who I thought was a big offseason addition, who had played like a number one, especially in this kind of defense. You've really hung your hat on. They're better on defense than they were last year. At the end of that game, I'm not sure if that's the case.
Well, they're going to have to respond. They're going to have to find a way. And this is some of it is on players going to have to step up and play better than they've played, because they're going to be playing more than they've played. You're going to have to find a way to put together a defensive scheme. We saw it last year. He adjusted, and they were better in the back half of that season than they were to start the season. Now, what are they going to do to adjust defensively to make sure that they can get some stops? Do I expect them moving forward to be the number two defense? No, I don't think they have to be the number two defense to win the Super Bowl.
They don't have to. It's going to be harder.
Yeah, but they're going to have to be better than they were yesterday.
But I guess that's how I would just bullet point where I'm at today. Can they win the Super Bowl? Yes, duh. Of course they can win the Super Bowl. Are they the favorites? No, no longer. There's more doubt now. I have more concerns now. I don't feel as confident as I did going into that game. Because, again, I thought they were going to win by 10 points. So, of course, that shapes the way I view this football team. And we'll get more of your phone calls on that next. It's 97.1.